The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So here's the question we heard today from Jesus. Right? All those Galileans who were killed by Pilate while they were worshiping and offering sacrifices, did they die that way because God was punishing them for sins that were worse than other people's sins? And here is that same basic question in a more current event and context. Those 9 African Americans who were murdered during their Bible study at Mother Emanuel Church in South Carolina, did they die in that manner because God was punishing them for sins that were worse than other people's sins? Jesus' emphatic answer to his own question and to this more current question is an emphatic no. And that answer remains no for atrocities as well as any other types of tragedies that befall humans. That answer should comfort us. It is one that we would expect from Jesus, but it might make us a little bit uncomfortable as well. At least it does me at times. I would love to be able to do or not do certain things to ensure a long, healthy, and happy life with minimal suffering. That would make an unknown future a little less unknown. But the other side of that is part of our nature to think that if somebody does something wrong or something that is deemed bad or sinful, that there should be some kind of punishment. But God's way is not that simple, as we hear expressed in Jesus' response to those who are following him. One thing that we must remember is that God's justice is not the same as human justice. And it is quite the Holy Spirit at work here today, because for those of you who are planning to stay for the Lenten study on faith and criminal justice, today's lesson in that study is all about God's justice and its intersection with human justice. So as a little foretaste of what is to come later this morning, where human justice tends to focus on paying for some crime or wrong, God's justice goes beyond that. It goes beyond the human demand for retribution when a wrong has been committed. And just as forgiving others does not mean taking away accountability or declaring evil actions as good, God's justice does include accountability. It will never count evil as good, but it also does so much more. In reading statements given by the families of the slain victims at Mother Emanuel during the sentencing of the shooter, There was a huge range of responses. As we would expect, and is totally understandable, several applauded the death penalty sentence that was given. Others spoke of Dylann Roof as evil, a demon who will rot in hell once his own death comes. Yet there were others who responded in a very different way. Several pastors were killed on that day, and one of them was Dan Simmons Sr. His son, Dan Simmons Jr., said to the shooter during the sentencing phase, "I forgive you. I know that you don't understand that, but God requires me to forgive you. I forgive you. God also requires me to plead and pray for you, and I do that. Understand that as you have been judged. Know that you have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Know that you can change your life. Stay focused. I guarantee if you choose to serve God, you will have a better life." End quote. These words are a real life current example of Jesus' words about repentance and forgiveness. We cannot keep tragedy from happening. We cannot keep suffering from coming. What we can do is change our own minds. We can control how we deal with the tragedy. Dan Simmons Jr., he leaned onto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he leaned into God's love so as not to let the hate or the anger or the fear or even the sadness in the wake of this tragedy cause him to forget that at God's very core is radical forgiveness. When Jesus is telling his disciples to repent, he is telling them, don't waste your time worrying about other people's sins. Instead, spend your time leaning into the love of God. We tend to equate repentance with contrition or being remorseful about something. But as we learned back in Advent from John the Baptist, repentance is really about how we focus our lives. And I reminded of Luther's first thesis of the 95 theses that were hammered onto the door. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he intended that the entire life of believers should be repentance. Repentance not as penance for paying some kind of penalty, but as life lived in the presence of God, a life lived in seeking the wholeness that God desires for all. To be sure, repentance may and does include asking for forgiveness, for recognizing where we have done wrong and where we have sinned. But fundamentally, repentance is about adopting a way of approaching this world and this life in the way that God approaches it, in love, with a yearning for wholeness and holiness. Dan Simmons Jr. told his father's murderer that he could still turn to God and ask for forgiveness, and that God would forgive him and give him a more meaningful life. Dan reminds all that even for someone who has committed a crime that was fueled by hate and absolutely opposed to God's laws regarding murder, even for Dylann Roof, it is not too late to repent, to turn to God, to see the beauty of all people as God does, and to ask for both help and forgiveness. And in that repentance, Dylann's life would be changed for the better. Repentance, confession, and forgiveness will not change the sentence that was handed down. It will not change the horrific act of that mass murder. It will not take away the accountability for his actions. But repentance would have the ability to restore wholeness to Dylann's soul. and lest we think this young man and this event are far from us. Dylan Roof and his family were, and I still believe, members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Two of the pastors that were killed on that day were trained in ELCA seminaries, one of them being the Reverend Daniel Simmons Sr. Not that those details are really important, but they did affect me in a way that I had not expected when I read that, when I saw that connection. It all felt a little more personal. And it's also easy to think that Jesus was in some way separate from those who died in some church some distance away in Galilee. Those who died in that story that his followers were sharing with him. But it's also very possible that Jesus knew someone, loved someone, knew friends or family of those who were slain on that day. And it is interesting that rather than getting into a political discourse about Pilate desecrating a sacred space and a sacred act by murder, Jesus focuses the discussion on people, on us, on his followers. Jesus uses this discussion to teach those who would listen that in the grand scheme of things, we are all called to live a life of repentance. At the end of this conversation, Jesus chooses to teach a final lesson using a parable about a fig tree, a tree that appears to be wasting the soil because it does not bear fruit. What does a fig tree have to do with repentance? Well, let's go back again to John the Baptist. In Luke 3, he commands us to, commands us to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In Luke's Gospel, as well as in Acts, which is the sequel to Luke, this is imagery used in several places. To repent, to reorient our vision so that we can see our world as God sees it, that will lead to being a fruitful fig tree. As individuals, as the community of First Lutheran Church, as part of the ELCA, as part of the whole body of God's beloved family, we have the chance to bear the fruit of repentance, and we are called to do that. Dan Simmons Jr. lived a life of repentance. He bore the fruit of it even in the most difficult days of his life. When we turn away from attitudes and actions that are not life-giving, and instead focus on God's loving and life-giving intent for creation, how we live will change. The fruit we bear will be fruit that feeds and nourishes us and those around us. The fruit we bear will help to bring the kingdom of God a little closer to our life here on earth. And remember, as Martin Luther said, right, repentance is a daily thing. It is not something we do once and it's done. It is how we live our lives. And this is what we are called to do. Amen.